Welcome to the Valley Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Vexus Boats, building dreams with an unequaled passion for excellence. And now, with our hosts, Eric Colson, Don Cleaver, and Ava LaRue.
Welcome to the Valley Outdoors, everyone. Glad to have you with us for another week, and it's going to be a good one. A lot of cool stuff to talk about today, Don. Ava, you're both here, which is nice to see.
It's a full house today.
Full house, yeah.
It's going to be good. We're going to talk a little bit about pheasant numbers in Minnesota, pheasant numbers in Iowa, and a crazy anomaly. We're talking about registered deer numbers in Michigan. So we're going to cover the span of the Midwest on today's show. A lot of good stuff to talk about, and I think you guys need to be parked in your chair, parked in your car, leave this thing on, don't go into the store, hang out, listen, because a lot of fun stuff is coming right up. Stay tuned. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors Radio Show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference.
Does your family need a break from the daily routine?
Hello, I'm Dr. Spruce. If you or someone you know needs a healthy dose of nature, visit discovertheforest.org and trade in the big screen for the big blue sky by visiting a local park or forest near you.
Hiking, picnicking, swimming, orienteering, climbing, admiring wildlife, or inhaling fresh air may result in heightened creativity, feelings of joy, harmony, satisfaction, and a euphoria that can only be explained as oneness with the natural world. Whoa.
Good to see you, Ava.
It's good to see you as well, and we've got Donald in the house today.
Donald.
Yeah, good to be here.
I didn't recognize you.
You didn't?
Why?
Well, actually, there's about the same amount of me as there's been in
that,
the past.
I was wondering who that guy sitting next to me was.
It's a stranger.
Yes, well,
who
I
is
know.
This guy?
I know I've been on and off here for the last two, 3 months.
And the shows have been flying. It's amazing how fast we do those shows.
Stop it.
But it takes about a half hour every week.
No, it takes about 18 minutes for us to get done. It's pretty crazy.
Well, that's all it's going to take us today, if you can get started.
Oh, we love to give you grief, Don.
I know.
It's because we do.
It's because we love them.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, you've been doing anything outdoors at all?
No. Unfortunately, I haven't.
Unfortunately. Well, let me tell you something. You know, the salmon fishing has been fantastic, right?
Yeah, I've been seeing pictures.
Yeah. It's I have brought fish in for you and Ava, so don't tell me I haven't.
No.
I share the wealth. And so one of the things that you know, I've known for many years when we've been fishing Green Bay was one of those first places I learned that water temps move bait fish in a big way. And the fishery in Green Bay has changed dramatically. And the fact that the walleye are not migrating to the degree they used to into the Fox River, they're finding they're starting to spawn on the reefs because they have food source with the goby. They're changing, transitioning their diet to that. It's a fatty fish, and it's providing amazing catches all over the area. So it changes things, but originally it was when the alewives were in, you'd have wind blow one way, but you had to think hydrologically when water moves. So the surface moves away, and it'll push, let's say the wind is from the west, that will push that warm surface water to the east part of the lake, and that water will roll underneath and make it very, very warm. Well, bait fish have a certain temperature that they like, and they will hang in that temperature. Well, as that warm water moves away from shore, it pushes that cold underwater temp up and therefore cools the west shore. So west wind pushes the surface out, it wells up and pushes that colder lower water up. And I've never seen and obviously many years of doing this, but not as many salmon fishing, but I've never seen a situation where we're dropping the downriggers using the fishhawk. And I'll tell you, we get something else we have to talk about. But we had talked with my guy from Fishhawk about water temperatures and seeing what's going on. But it's a probe, and it tells you speed of water and temperature at certain depths that you lower. And a downrigger is basically a heavy ball, and there's a transmitter on it, and you drop it down to see what the temperatures are to find something called a thermocline, which is a real separation of water temperature points. You could actually see it on your graph. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
The water temps were 60 degrees down 100 feet. And you'd drive and drive.
They were cooler on the surface?
Well, it was warmer on the surface.
Right.
But it was still 60, which is not normal, down 100 to 100, well, even 120 feet. Which
that's warm for that low. For that
very, very warm. So the real struggle was, you had to get out early. You had to get these fish before it became just started to get daylight, and that's, you know, that was the bite was happening, and it literally by 9 o'clock in the morning it was, or eight even, it was done. You could stay out all you wanted. You're not going to get anything to go. Driving through these fish done. So understanding water and what temperature does to fish is something that it really puts an education out there. So thinking about fall bites when you guys are looking at going to whatever fishing you're going to go, understanding the water temperature is a really important piece to that understanding. And even though migration will happen, if like on the river here, they're going to migrate to the dam regardless, that's a light change. But where they're going to hang out and where the bait fish are and they're going to feed is relative to what that temperature in the water column is.
And water depth has a big...
Absolutely. Factor.
Yeah. Factor in that when it turns over. So.
And it can be if it's a turnover or if it's just that warming or pushing of that surface water. I know we're going to go out this weekend and the forecast is 30 mile an hour winds from the west, gusting to 45.
No, that doesn't sound like a day to go fishing.
No, and I was looking at one of the posts for the guys over in the Lower Peninsula, Michigan, and they're saying, guy says, hey, I'm looking to jump on board with somebody this weekend. And then somebody else comes on and says, yeah, no one will be going out this weekend. The waves are anticipated to be up to 14 feet. Imagine how.
No.
I mean.
No.
And trying to control your boat, even on the western shore, where the wind is, so you're on the lee side.
Right.
It's impossible.
Yeah. Well,
you end up
unless
dog
you're 200
trolling.
Yards from shore.
Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're better off trolling from shore.
Yeah.
Without question. And it should move the cooler water in, a lot cooler water in. And then next week we'll be warming up again. So that's going to be the funny part about this whole thing. But, you know, it's something to keep in mind. It's a three-dimensional. Now it actually is four-dimensional because you have to add that temperature gradient as well into those different areas. So
wind's going to stir it up a big time.
Yeah, it'll be happening. So, well, hey, you guys want to hang out? We got some cool things we're going to talk about. Drones are used to protect cattle out west in the ranches. You're going to want to stick around for this one. This is pretty cool. More Valley Outdoors coming right up. If you're hearing this, I suspect you're still listening. Doesn't that make sense, Don?
I would hope so.
That would be exactly it. And, of course, we always want to make sure you check out all the other cool stuff that we have on where, Don?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
And Ava?
Facebook as well.
Yes, exactly. Anybody has any cool photos, feel free to send them in to us at info@...
TheValleyOutdoors.com. That's plural, by the way. The Valley Outdoors with an
yep,
S.
Yep, there's an S on the end of it.
Yep.
Make sure you do that and check us out. And of course, there's some cool stuff that's going to be happening right now with the DNR websites. You're going to be looking at that and the interactive manner that we have.
We've been getting real excited with what we've been seeing on our trail cams.
Yeah, oh yeah. Mm-hmm. I have a dandy, too.
We have
a few.
We have Chuck and Don.
We know how Don's dandy one is he gets out there and it's not there, and then he leaves and it comes back.
Well, so of Chuck and Don, of course, Don's the best one. So I'll have to get the Don.
You labeled them Chuck and Don?
My dad did. The two the two big ones are Chuck and Don.
Yeah.
And they hang out together. So he's got some real great video.
Are they fishing buddies? Or
they must be. I'll have to share the video. It's fun. They're on their driveway.
Hey, there's an idea. If somebody's got some really cool trail cam pics, send them.
Or videos, yeah.
Yeah. We'll post them up there and we'll highlight them. In fact, we might even talk about them, which is kind of cool. Speaking of talking about it, you know, last week we had David Walker on talking about bass fishing and forward-facing sonar, that kind of thing. And we've had a lot of conversation on it, both sides of the fence. You know, do you have it? Do you use it? Do you not? How is it impacting the fisheries? We've seen how it's impacted the fishery in Mille Lacs with the perch. Big news out of the BASS world. That's the Bass Elite Series events for 2026, Don. They just announced this. The forward-facing sonar will be allowed in up to 5 out of 9 regular season tournaments. So it was every one of them. You could use that
technology.
The specific events will be randomly selected. They also have the restriction that they've always had, which is one forward-facing sonar transducer per boat and a 55-inch total screen size.
And what size?
55 inches total screens they can have per boat.
Square inches.
Yep. So not 55-inch TV. You ever seen the guys that joke about that? They put a TV on their boat so they can look at it. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
So, and that will apply to the Classic. The goal of the hybrid schedule is to promote more diverse approach to bass fishing, allowing for more high-tech as well as traditional techniques. It explains there's things you can go on their site. I will say this, guys. They're actually talking about having a vets or I don't know what you want to call it other than the vets league. And what they're going to do is bring back all the guys that were that had retired over the top of the game and have retired and have them come back and fish in a separate competition.
Category or?
I will tell you what, I suspect you'd have more viewership there than you will have on the regular ones if they're using forward-facing sonar. In fact, I would put money on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so much more interesting to listen to these guys that have so many years of experience. They utilize their knowledge to understand the fishery and play it, not taking anything away from the young guys. Don't get me wrong, but it is going to be interesting.
Are you talking in the bass world or
bass world, specifically the bass world?
Yeah.
Yep. And
bring back the Hank Parkers of the world.
They would sell advertising absolutely hands down.
Yeah.
It would be,
it'd be
amazing. It would be amazing. So the Classic for 2026 is going to have the standard screen size, but those qualified previous to that, they're not going to have that option. I think it's going to be forward-facing sonar for the 2026 Classic simply because the rules were established in a later scenario. But
I don't know where it was, but I did see one rig that had about 6 of them on each, you know, 3 on each side of the boat,
mm-hmm.
maybe one on the front. I can't imagine what he's got invested in electronics.
Well, we talked a little bit about it. The Muskie tournaments in Wisconsin, the guys that had 4 units, they had 2 aside,
yep.
or 3 aside, and they ended up getting, I think it was 7 Muskies in one event, and that was
I'm talking about the investment. I mean, well, they're $4,000 or $5,000 a rig.
Yeah, you know, and the guys can get them if they're working with a company, but
right.
that ended it. That one event and what they did ended forward-facing sonar for the Muskie Trail because it was a
You might as well just put a lighted bobber on the fish. And
well, now, and here's the thing, Don. If you look at exactly what's happening in that particular scenario to a fish that is not going to be caught generally at that rate by any means, that's like 75% even 100% more than he would ever have. I mean, you get two muskies in an event a lot of times is off the charts, maybe right. three, and they come up with seven or eight.
Right.
That, in my mind.
And I'm guessing they were all nice fish, too.
They were pretty good fish.
Yeah.
You know, and they could detect them open water. So, and most people, you're not going to cast open water because yeah. you're wasting a cast.
But see, you're talking tournament fishermen. I think for the average person out there, you know, my granddad always said, you know, you go fishing to enjoy being on the water. Catching's a bonus.
Not going to argue, but understand, that's what happened to Mille Lacs last year. The perch rate. Yeah.
Yep.
There was an S on there. When you're talking
yeah.
about that.
Yeah.
You know, you're dealing with the key piece of this body of water's perch as a food source for the walleye, as well as a good catch, right?
Right.
So it's virtually was devastated 1 year. They anticipated it was 700% increase in catch rate in perch because somebody on Facebook said, hey, they're in the main basin. Well, the main basin in Mille Lacs is one of those changes. You can't normally go out there in the main basin and find fish. It's not that easy. You got to punch a bunch of holes and try and figure where they're at. You drop forward facing sonar down, pan it around. Well, there they are. Go over to that spot, drill a hole, check. Yep, we're on it. Drop it down. They anticipated there was over 1,000 to 1,100% increase in take rate in perch last year.
Ice fishing.
And that's why the perch take limit is now fraction. It's 5, I think.
Compared to 10? I mean, I've never fished there for 15. For perch, so 15 yeah. was it?
So I believe that was the number. But the whole point really comes down to, Don, when we're looking at what's going on, there's changes are being made for the positive side to increase viewership. I think viewership took a hit because you don't want to – I was just watching the other day. You get two guys standing on the front of the boat if it's a team event, and they're both looking at the graph. They're not casting. They're just sitting there holding their line. You can't necessarily see the graph, but it doesn't matter. It's not that intrigue of, are they going to be able to find the fish?
Right.
Oh, did they drive over enough fish? So kind of a transition in a different thought process. So, but, yeah, news coming out of BASS, big deal, big change, and I think it's going to start happening more so across the board. Speaking of change, Don, this was a cool thing. Drones are blasting AC/DC and Scarlett Johansson. They're helping biologists protect cattle from wolves. Ava, what was that look?
What does Scarlett Johansson have?
Well, I'm glad you asked.
Because what?
For many years, obviously cattle... ranchers have tried to scare wolves away from cattle and keeping, and whether it's cattle or just livestock, it could be sheep, it could be whatever. The problem you have is you get to try and scare them away. The other issue is you can't be on top of that scenario 24/7. You can't. You can't run out to wherever your back 40 is or wherever you've moved those grazers into a different area and be there. But a team of biologists working near the California-Oregon border, they've figured something out, and they're using drones to blast AC/DC's Thunderstruck, movie clips, live human voices at the apex predators to shoo them away from cattle. And it's an ongoing experiment.
Is it working?
Hang on. Here's the quote. I'm not putting up with this anymore, actress Scarlett Johansson yells in one clip from the 2019 film Marriage Story. With what? I can't talk to people, says Adam Driver, the co-host, and this is what they're broadcasting. The gray wolves were nearly hunted into extinction throughout the U.S. West in the first half of the 20th century. They reintroduced them into Idaho and Yellowstone National Park in the mid-90s, and they've gone to the point of population of Rockies, they've been removed from the Endangered Species Act. We talked a little bit about that. Now there's well over 100. They say there's several hundred wolves in Washington and Oregon, dozens more in Northern California, and now thousands roaming near the Great Lakes. that recovering population has increased the conflict with ranchers and increasingly creative efforts to protect their livestock has ensued. Gray wolves end up killing some 800 domestic animals across 10 states in 2022. Previous Associated Press documents had the data as actually higher. Move through this the scenario. What they do is they take preloaded clips, including recordings of music, gunshots, fireworks, and voices. The drone pilot starts with playing three clips chosen at random, such as the marriage story scene or Thunderstruck. You know that's yep. that music.
Oh yeah.
With its screams and hair-raising electric guitar licks, which is an awesome tune. If they don't work, the operator could improvise by yelling through a microphone or playing a different clip that's not among the randomized presets.
This is going on through a drone?
Through a drone.
Okay.
Now, prime example, I have a security camera on the boat out, or my boat out in Port Washington. Well, if somebody walks by and it turns that on, I can talk through my sure. deal to those people. So same concept.
Sure.
You're just throwing the camera on there. And so what ends up happening is one of the favorites of the drone operators is the heavy metal band Five Finger Death Punch, one of my favorites, Blue on Black. And that's a Kenny Wayne Shepherd song, if you don't know it, and which might blast the lyric, "You turned and you ran as the wolves flee." So the guys are having fun with it. But interesting concept, Don.
Well, my question is, how long can the drone be up there? Are they up there all the time? Are they doing this from the ranch?
Yeah. It's some of the scientists that have done this and experimented with areas that have high wolf populations.
Sure.
So that's one of the areas.
They're just seeing if they scare the wolves.
Right. And one of the things that they've got here, the U.S. drone pilots have continued cattle protection patrols while researching wolf responses at ranches with high conflict levels, which is what I just said, along the Oregon-California border. They extend south to Sierra Valley in August for the first time, according to California Fish and Wildlife. Now, here's the big thing. It's not clear whether the wolves might become accustomed to the drones. A lot of times, they've done this in the past in Europe. They hang long lines with flapping cloth on those lines.
Right.
And the wolves can eventually learn that those flags aren't a threat. Environmental advocates obviously are optimistic about using the drone because the other scenario is you're going to go shoot the wolves that have gotten a taste of the cattle. And that's a challenge because then they know that's free food going on. And
good food, too.
Yeah. The drawbacks technology, the drone with night vision and a loudspeaker costs around $20,000, requires professional training. Doesn't work well in wooded areas, making it impractical for many of the ranchers. Ranchers in Northern California, they hosted USDA drone patrols, agree that they have reduced livestock deaths so far. They're appreciative of what they did, but they don't think it will be a long-term solution. I'm afraid it's going to happen is after some period of time, all of a sudden they go, it's not going to hurt me, so I'm free and clear, and they become calloused to that exposure. I used to live by the airport downtown, and eventually, first when I moved in, I couldn't stand it. There's another plane, and you don't even really know that they're there.
Right.
So ranchers are compensated if they can prove a wolf killed their livestock, as we have talked about that as well. Uncompensated costs have stressed out cows and lower birth rates and tougher meat because of the stressed out cows.
Oh.
So,
well, this reminds me, you know, bring it home here that we're talking about something that's going on out west. But bringing it home here, we don't have wolves, but we have deer that like gardens.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So, I mean, we have to protect the gardens. So yeah. My neighbor's got three wires going around his garden and like tinsel. That is like shiny tinsel hanging off the wires.
It makes a noise.
Yeah, no, it doesn't make a noise. It's just
it's shiny
and flickering, right? So my son comes home and he sends me a picture of the deer with his head between the wires, dining on the garden.
At night or?
No, it was broad daylight and he was 30 feet away from it. I just looked at him. Didn't work.
That's nuts.
Yep.
Well, anyway, they're going to continue doing this and see what happens. Otherwise, the last resort is, hey, Wolf, get out of here, he said. And it actually worked. So, hey, want to jump into this? We got a short period of time left on. Great news for Minnesota. The pheasant numbers are up 50% in annual roadside surveys. That's a big deal. And 21% up from the 10-year average. That's also a big deal. 75 birds per 100 miles of roads driven compared to 51 in 2024. So that's a fantastic deal, and I'm super excited about that. And again, that's generally the south and west part of the state. Actually, it comes all the way into the mid part of Minnesota, Douglas County south and over to Rice County and west of there, and then some of the areas in southeast.
Southwest,
also
yeah.
In the southeast. But
yep.
And Iowa's their 20-year record right now. They're going to be at 20-year highs. And so that's
South
awesome.
South Dakota sounds like it's going well.
South Dakota, we don't have the numbers yet, but all indications are it's going to be fantastic as yep. well. So, yeah, it's going to be good. Good to see you, Don,
yes.
Ava. We are out of here. That's the show. It's a wrap, as they say. And we appreciate, of course, all of you listening. We hope you have a fantastic weekend. Wherever you may be in the outdoors, be safe, have fun, and we will see you here next week. We're the Valley Outdoors. We are out here.
Thanks for listening to the Valley Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Vexus Boats, building dreams with an unequaled passion for excellence. Catch us next week, same time, same place. Have a great day on the water or in the field.